Hey, it's Melissa from Melissa in the Morning on WICC 600. And thanks for checking out the podcast right here. If you want, you can always subscribe, share, and like it. Hope to see you guys soon. Thanks.
It's Melissa in the Morning on WICC 600.
Hey, good morning, you guys. It is 6:40. So glad that you could be here. So I actually want to talk about one of our top stories that you just heard about a couple minutes ago. This New London fire, which killed the Zappos CEO, Tony Hsieh, back in November. There was a new report that came out, but it's sort of inconclusive at this point. Fire officials said it could have been a propane heater, it could have been unattended smoking materials, candles. But in any case, they still haven't canceled out the idea that Hsieh may have died by suicide. This may have been him setting the fire, leaving it so that he can die in that shed, which he was locked in. At first it seemed like he was trapped and it was this horrific thing. And it is horrific. But more and more reports are coming out about this man and his past. And I think there's a bigger picture that I hope we don't miss from his death. Like, I'm hoping this really speaks to mental health. And really checking on our loved ones. I know that we are all busy. We're all stressed. We're all going through a hard time for whatever the reason. It could be because of work. It could be it's probably because of COVID. But family being separated, missing out on big events. You know, we are constantly challenged. Literally every day that we wake up, even before a pandemic ever came here, we were challenged as human beings. And then the pandemic set in and it just seemed like we can't go a day without feeling some kind of bliss, right? It sort of feels that way for everybody, depending on your situation. But in big and small ways, we all sort of feel challenged every single day. And that really was no different for Tony Hsieh. Tony was an American internet entrepreneur. He was a venture capitalist. He had retired actually just this past August as the CEO of the online shoe and clothing company Zappos, which I have ordered from many times. They've got great stuff. My sister loves it there as well, actually. Prior to that, he had sold an advertising network to Microsoft for $265 million. So this guy was brilliant. He was very smart. He was really connected to so many people in the internet industry. Just a really very smart man. He was born to two immigrants who came over from Taiwan and just had an incredible education. He went to Harvard University, got a degree in computer science. He just was unbelievable. And he was the CEO of Zappos for 21 years before he retired. He was only 46 years old. So he was pretty young. And I was kind of digging through because this story to me just seemed very unfinished. I don't know if any of you sort of thought the same thing. I know that he was up in New London. So a lot of you probably thought, OK, it's not really in our listening area. So like, oh, how sad. But, you know, go on with your day. But I think there's this bigger overarching theme from his death that we really can't miss here. And that truly is to pay attention to your self-care. Pay attention to red flags if you see them in people. I found an interview, actually. I'm going to play a snippet of it from a Forbes writer. She's a staff writer at Forbes. I believe her name is Angel Ayoung. And she did a lot of digging into really the success of Tony Hsieh. And then when he passed away, she did, 2 months worth of interviewing of his colleagues, his friends, the different communities he was part of. He was really part of a big Las Vegas, community. He was really into partying. He became addicted to drugs and unfortunately other substances, especially during the pandemic. And she kind of describes the fact that his life goal was to find happiness. In fact, he was an author, I found out. He wrote a book about how do you find happiness? Everything was kind of like an algorithm for this guy. You had to find the correct math equation to equal happiness. And that was sort of like his life goal. And ironically enough, with all the money and all the success he had, it doesn't sound like ever really did find happiness. And the pandemic kind of broke him. Here's what Angel shared with CBS, the CBS network. She came on and she talked a little bit about what this man went through in his final months before he did pass away in that fire at the end of 2020. Take a listen.
I think this year, COVID-19 was sort of the turning point for Tony. I mean, my co-writer, David Jeans, and I, we spent the last week speaking with Tony's closest friends and acquaintances, not just from this last year, but from years previous. And, you know, the things that Tony really drew happiness from was being around people, being around these events, being around parties and music festivals and everything that he sort of equated with happiness. It was all canceled during 2020. And, you know, Tony, he also really was drawn to change and new experiences. So when all these large events are canceled, then what can you turn to? And I think for Tony this year, unfortunately, that turned to trying really experimental drugs, which I think fueled a lot of other internal battles that he was struggling with.
So she kind of goes on to talk about his past with Las Vegas and everything like that. But I think the bigger overarching, and again, I'm not insinuating that this was suicide, but I think there are strong indications that this man was truly miserable. And he truly didn't have, you know, I think the resources or people to say, hey, you know what, like this guy needs some help. You know, I think sometimes we're so scared to point out something, especially when you're so successful, you've got everything you think at the surface, you have everything, but internally you have nothing. You know, this man was somebody who could never understand why his 30 and 40 year old friends were all getting married and having kids. Like, why would they give up happiness? Like, to him, that didn't compute. And I think it's just it's truly sad. And I feel like there's more to this guy's story that is not really coming out just yet. And I think it will. But I think the bigger overarching theme here that I want to drive home is that, look, the pandemic is, for some people, is the icing on the cake. For some people, this is what kind of is like the straw that broke the camel's back. And I would just encourage you that, first of all, if you feel like you're going through a hard time, someone is probably going through a worse time. Not that that makes you feel any better, but, you know, you're not alone in feeling this despair. But also, I would just take the extra time. Like, if something doesn't seem right, or if somebody feels like they are maybe a little off, or something just doesn't seem like the typical routine, you know, don't be afraid to ask a question. I'd rather offend somebody by asking someone out of care if they're okay versus just being quiet because I'd rather not cause controversy, because maybe somebody could have saved Tony's life. Maybe not. But I think this is just one of those examples of, I know we're all going through a hard time with the pandemic, but this is a true example of why we need to speak up and advocate for people who may not be strong enough to say, hey, I'm struggling. And we're checking in right now with Milford Mayor Ben Blake. Hey, Mayor Blake, how are you?
Good morning, Melissa. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. So I saw yesterday, only because I live in Milford, that there was like a parking ban, obviously, for the storm. Has that been lifted?
It has. You know, we ask people to use good judgment if they can park off the street to do so, just because our plows were out. They have been out. We did a lot of salting. A lot of product was laid, so the roads are in pretty good condition this morning. My reaction when I woke up on a Wednesday morning was to wake up early and look out the window. And when I saw snow, I automatically looked to see if the superintendent had called to discuss a delayed opening. But that did not happen, because today is a virtual learning day.
Yes,
Milford students since September have been going back 4 days a week from grades K through 12, and Wednesdays are the one day that we have virtual learning in Milford. So Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday are in person in Milford, but Wednesdays are virtual.
Okay. All right. Well, that is good. There you go. So we're at home. We're safe. We're not getting on the roads. That's good anyways. But nothing really happens. That's always good. I got to say, Mayor Blake, so I read the press release that came from your office yesterday, the partnership between the city of Milford and Yale New Haven Health. I have been flooded with calls and emails and Facebook messages ever since reading that release on the air, because people are very excited to get their vaccines. They want to do it in Milford. So first of all, let's talk about what is available right now. We know all day Wednesday, and it's like part of the time on Fridays. The health department had already been doing vaccinations, correct?
They had. So they have, for the last month and a half, opened up clinics Wednesdays and Friday afternoons at our Parsons Government Center gymnasium. They're going to continue to do that for the foreseeable future. However, we have partnered with Yale New Haven Health They will be filling in just because we have a ready-made available clinic that can, you know, process hundreds and hundreds of people a day. That's ready to go. They are going to be filling in the other 5 days a week. So they will be there Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, half a day Friday, and then Saturday. So we're going to utilize that space 7 days a week, full strength. Our community's focus, your nation's focus, the world's focus right now is making sure that this pandemic ends and that we get as much vaccinations in the arm as we can muster. However, at this point, there is a limited amount of vaccines for distribution. The demand greatly outweighs the actual product. So that's something that we're dependent upon, and we're hoping that we get more supplies into the community and into the arms of people who want that vaccine.
Mm-hmm. Now, we know that we're dealing with a shortage in Milford. We're dealing with it all across Connecticut, all across the country. When we do have more vaccines, I have found, and a lot of our listeners have found, Mayor Blake, that not only is it hard to make an appointment through the VAM's phone number and website, like, it's incredibly difficult and it's very glitchy, and the governor has admitted it's glitchy. But they also find that they're being sent up to East Hartford or way further away. This is so convenient to be in Milford, to be able to serve the surrounding area. So my question to you is, are there other ways that people can book an appointment to be able to go to Parsons for their COVID vaccine when the vaccine is more available and there are more appointments open? Is there a better way than VAMS to do that?
Well, VAMS is the state's primary center that you have to go through. My recommendation is that appointments get canceled, whether it means that, you know, someone that right now is eligible under 1B, so that they're 75 and older, they may have scheduled an appointment somewhere else through their provider or through, you know, another mechanism, and their VAMS opening or slot may become available to someone else. So keep checking the VAMS website. What I would also suggest is that Yale has its own system for enrollment, and to try both of those systems. And again, I would also recommend that folks check with their provider. Sometimes their provider offers the vaccine directly as well.
Okay, so maybe it's a good idea if you do have a doctor, you have your primary care doctor, it might be worth having them, especially if you've tried VAMS and you're frustrated and you find that you're being sent to East Hartford, for example, and you want to be closer to home, maybe even at Parsons in Milford, to maybe have your doctor look into that for you. We're talking to Mayor Ben Blake this morning in Milford. How do you think it's going, the whole process? Like, how has it been going for the last month and a half doing the vaccines, other than dealing with a shortage of getting doses? How is it going so far in Milford?
We've gotten rave reviews from the Milford Clinic that it's convenient, it's well-run, it's efficient. Our public health nurses are just doing a fantastic job. They're working not just double duty, but triple duty. You know, they're at our schools, they're doing contact tracing, and they're running these clinics, so they're doing yeoman service above and beyond. I do have to say there's just not enough slots. We need more vaccines to come into the state, to come into the community, so that we can end this pandemic and make sure that we go back to normal faster.
Yeah. Have you run into any situations, Mayor Blake, where you've had to turn people away who had an appointment? Like, we saw that in Stamford a couple weeks back, that they turned like 300 or 500 people away because Moderna ran out.
I know that our health department has been scrambling. If the state gives us half of the amount that we had requested and we had scheduled appointments, I know that we have scrambled to seek out vaccines from other clinics that were not fully scheduled, but I think that we've done our best. I do know that even this week, we've had to scramble a little bit to see if there's any available vaccines around the state, because the amount that we were assured a week or two ago came in short.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we know, like I said, today is a full day where the clinic is open. The only way to somehow get into Milford would be through the VAM site, or you can go through Yale New Haven Health. Now, somebody yesterday, right after you made that announcement, went to go check. I have not done the application. First of all, I can't get far enough because I'm not 75 or older. But they said that they weren't given the option to go to Milford. I don't know if you know anything about the application process through through Yale, but do you know if they've added Milford as a possible location, like if you wanted to request Milford?
I don't think it's fully opened up yet.
Okay.
It is scheduled for later this week to actually open up. I'm not sure about their database, whether or not that is going to be live as of tomorrow, but that's something that we can check.
Okay. All right, great. No, I'll just letting everybody know if you did go right away, very wonderful. Love that you went right away, but it may not be up and active right now to get you into Milford. So maybe wait another week, maybe just to look into it. But Mayor Blake's office, I'm constantly in contact with Justin. He's wonderful, and I will get back to you with that. So thank you so much, Mayor Blake. I really appreciate this.
Hey, I wish you a continued safe 2021. We're all looking for a better year this year.
Yes, amen to that. Thank you so much, Mayor Blake. We'll talk in a couple of weeks. Connecting right now with First Electman Jim Marpy of Westport. And Jim, thanks for being here this morning. How are you doing?
Great, Melissa. How are you today?
I'm fine. Thank you so much for asking. Yeah,
no,
I appreciate
great,
it.
Great, great. Normally, when I'm talking to you on a snow day, I'm talking about school closures and how quickly everything will be back normal. But I'm pleased to say here in Westport, the schools will be open on time.
There you
morning.
Go. Oh, well, that's good.
We maybe had all in 2 inches of snow here, and
yeah.
That was in various parts. So our Public Works Department's done a great job of keeping ahead of it. The roads are clear. Most of the parking lots are clear, but still caution people to drive carefully. That likely there's some frozen spots that might cause some trouble. So,
mm-hmm.
But otherwise, things are in pretty good shape here weather-wise.
That's good. Yeah, we dodged a bullet for sure. So I appreciate that update this morning. Now, I know, Jim, in a matter of days, you're going to be doing a virtual State of the Town address for people mm-hmm. to tune into. Can you actually give us maybe like a sneak peek? What are some of the biggest items you're going to be talking about?
Well, sure. First of all, the two Westport Rotary Clubs, the Westport Rotary Club and the Sunrise Rotary Club, have been sponsoring an annual State of the Town presentation for the last several years. And that's myself speaking as First Selectman from sort of the town perspective, and the chairman of our Board of Education, Candace Savin, who will be speaking from the school perspective. And that's Sunday, this Sunday, January 31, from 2 to 3:30. And people can tune that in on television, either Channel 79, if you're an Optimum subscriber, or the Frontier Channel 6020, or you can see it streaming on westportct.com. Gov or the Westport Library, where we're originating the event, westportlibrary.org. Candace and I will be essentially alone in a very large space presenting just because of the COVID rules, but we'll also be taking questions from the public. So what? Let's see. What's happened since we did this literally a year ago? Oh, COVID.
Oh, yeah, that little thing. Yeah. So.
And so there's a certain amount to report there, coupled with what else happened? Oh, yeah, Storm Isaias. So that paralyzed the community for a while. So,
yeah, Westport was 98% out at one point,
yeah,
so it was crazy.
That's exactly right. So actually the remarkable thing from my perspective is that we faced into the COVID challenge, and I'll talk a fair amount about how we reacted and how regularly we're pivoting just because of new data or new facts or new realities that we had to deal with from day to day. But also, the number of things we accomplished as if it was just a normal time in our world. I know Candace will talk about it as well. Coleytown Middle School, we rehabilitated and reopened the school that we had to close on an emergency basis over 2 years ago. And to have that back online is an enormous accomplishment in any case, but certainly in this time of COVID. We managed to refurbish two of our artificial turf fields, which gives people more opportunity for outdoor exercise. is our public works department paved 10 miles of road. This is really in the rearview mirror for most people, but we completed the census for 2020 in the midst of all that, and Westport had an 85% self-response rate, which was about as good as it gets, so we're pleased with that. We've done some improvements to our parks, a number of other things I'll talk about that have taken place. And in the midst of all this, we also dealt with this is shorthand for it, but for the ideas and concepts brought forward through the Black Lives Matter movement, mm-hmm. and how we address diversity in our community, and specifically within the town, the initiatives we're taking to be sure that our workforce is as diverse as possible, not only in the recruiting and hiring process, but in the mentoring and advancement process as well. Okay. So a lot happened just because of COVID, but a lot happened in spite of COVID as well.
That's very true. Now, before I do let you go, First Selectman Jim Marpy is here of mm-hmm. Westport. People are so focused on getting their COVID vaccines, and I know mm-hmm. that the VAMS website and the VAMS number has been given so many times, I think people are blue in the face hearing it on the air. I was curious, do you guys in Westport have either your health department or maybe your senior citizens
our Westport Center for
Senior Center. There you go. Yes, yes, yes. I was like, nope, senior mm-hmm. center. There you go. Mm-hmm. Do you guys have resources to help your 75 plus right now, only because they're the only ones who can get vaccinated, to help them be able to get locally vaccinated? Like, what's sort of going on in Westport?
Well, that's the challenge, as everybody I think is beginning to understand, mm-hmm. is actually the availability of the vaccine. We're a part of the Westport Weston Health District, which does not report directly to me, but certainly we've collaborated over the years on all kinds of public health matters. And working with them, we've been able to vaccinate some hundreds of people within Westport. But the challenge of registering through the VAM system is certainly there. Both our senior center personnel, our human services personnel, as well as the health district have been working overtime, and their phones have been ringing steadily as we do try to help seniors who may be challenged by registering, puzzled by what steps to take. When we begin to see more dosages available to our health district, we have the plans in place to open up a large clinic type of operation. We ran a smaller clinic operation at the senior center last week, and are looking to do that again probably next week.
Okay.
But the challenge is getting the vaccine dosage available to us. So I join the governor in his concern in that, but at the same time, our health public health responders are positioning us so that we can, depending upon the volumes that we're able to handle, we're ready to go and help Westport citizens, but citizens everywhere to get vaccinated. That's really we know this is the way out of the world we live in now, and how important that is.
All right. Well, we so appreciate your time, First Selectman Jim Marpy of Westport, and we'll talk again in a couple of weeks.
Looking forward to it, Melissa. Have a good day now.
Thank you. You too.
It's time to go beyond the classroom and check in with the Discovery Museum. It's science you may not know on WICC 600.
Hey, good morning, David. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing fine. So did I say it correctly?
Oh, yeah, you did great. Yeah, tardigrades.
Yes, tardigrades. Tardigrades. What a fun word to say.
Oh, they are fantastic. Yeah, they're even more fun when you find them. They're really cool.
What are they?
Yeah, so these are really interesting organisms. So, when we think of life and maybe even the search for life outside of our own planet, mm-hmm. We think that you need to have the perfect conditions for life, like Earth-like conditions. It can't be too hot. It can't be too cold. It has to have the right air pressure and those kinds of things. And what we're finding is that there's a whole class of organisms that can actually survive in really extreme conditions where the pressures can be 1,000 times greater than the pressure here on the surface of the Earth.
That's amazing.
Where they can survive incredibly cold temperatures or even very hot temperatures. And we have a name for this class of organism. We call them extremophiles.
I love that. I want to be an extremophile. I wish.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
If you believe you can be an extremophile, no, it doesn't work that way. No.
I know, seriously.
You really have to be a tough organism. So it turns out that there is an organism that that fits this description of being an extremophile. And the name of this animal is called the tardigrade, or otherwise known as the water bear. And we've known about water bears and tardigrades since the 1700s.
Wow.
They're actually easy to find. And the word, the water bear, actually comes from one of the German discoverers. When he saw this under this little microscope, it kind of looked like a big, pudgy bear.
Aw,
yeah,
that's cute.
Yeah, it was kind of cute. Except it's really pig-like. It's kind of pudgy. It's got 8 pudgy legs, and it's got like a big tube for a mouth, kind of like a paper towel tube.
Like an elephant.
Yeah, and it's really, really an amazing animal to look at. Now, the word tardigrade, it's actually Italian, tardigrada, which means it just walked really slow.
Love that. Like a little sloth. Love that.
Yes, exactly. So it's a tardigrada. So it's a tardy. That's where we get the word tardigrade from.
Mm.
And so there are about 1,300 known species of tardigrades. And in fact, you know, we even discovered a tardigrade species, a new one, in a parking lot in Japan.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So they can literally be anywhere. And in fact, they have been found just about everywhere.
But I don't understand. So how can you spot them?
Yes, so here's what you're going to need to do. You will need a microscope to spot them, because like so many extremophiles, they're actually microscopic organisms.
Okay.
And this is how you can spot them. If you or any of our listeners want to be tardigrade hunters, all you need is a little patience and a microscope and knowing where to look. And so the habitat that you're looking for many of the tardigrades around here is moss, because its other name is a moss piglet, because it kind of looks like a fat pig that lives on moss. If you can find some moss, take some moss from different places, and make sure you record, be a scientist, record where you found the moss. Then you take that moss and you soak it in distilled water, probably overnight. And then when you've got this moss soaked in distilled water, you take the moss out, you squeeze it like a sponge to get anything that's in that moss into that water. And then what you do is you start tardigrade hunting. So you get a microscope and a little dropper and a slide and start searching drop by drop to see if you can find what looks like a pudgy, pig-like, bear-walking, slow-stepping, 8-legged, pudgy water bear.
Okay, so first of all, this sounds awesome. And if anybody out there has the patience and the time and doesn't have a toddler who's going to knock it all over, please send me pictures, because I think this is really cool. Second of all, have you ever read the book, David, by Eric Carle, The Mixed Up Chameleon?
No, I haven't. No.
Okay, this is the mixed up chameleon. Let me just tell you, because in the book, the chameleon, like, you know, goes to the zoo and he meets all these different animals. So he gets the trunk of an elephant, the legs of a giraffe, the tail of a fox. Like, he just turns into all these animals. Then he realizes, you know, like, oh, I could just be a chameleon. This is just to me. These guys are fascinating.
They are. They have actually made it to space. We've actually taken them to space missions.
What?
Been on shuttle missions. We actually took one of these guys. We shoved them out into space, out the hatch. They were brought back in, and a bunch of them just didn't care. They survived.
That's amazing.
And we actually had a container of them on a lunar lander from Israel. And unfortunately, the Israeli lunar lander crashed on the lunar surface. So we don't know what happened to those guys, but they're up there.
Oh, my gosh. They would be the only ones besides, like, maybe a Jedi that would have survived Star Wars.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
That's amazing.
Well, they have been in Star Trek. There is actually a giant tardigrade in Star Trek Discovery. Yes, there have been a couple of other movies, too, like Ant-Man. When they shrink,
yes,
they actually meet up with some tardigrades.
Oh, my gosh. How fun. Now I have to go back and watch that. That's so cool.
You got to see if you can find them. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my gosh. Now, if people do take the time and they do want to, you know, look for them, are you guys, like, is the Discovery Museum interested in seeing that stuff? Do you want people to submit it to you?
Well, you know, you could always email us a picture, you know, if there's a way to get a camera phone on the eyepiece, and then maybe you can see if you can capture an image of one of these tardigrades. And I, you know, I in the back where the Adventure Park is, at the Discovery Museum, there's a small river, and we've sent kids down there on tardigrade hunts, and sometimes they come back, and we do find them.
That's amazing.
So it's really kind of cool. You'll find other organisms in the pond water as well, or in the little river water and in the moss, but it's the tardigrades that you're looking for, because they do kind of look like a weird, pudgy, pig-like animal.
That's so funny. All right. Well, we got aliens in our backyard, so
you
there
you
go. You
have aliens in your backyard.
Love it. Oh, my gosh. David Mestre, always love talking to you. Thank you so much, and we'll talk again next week.
All right. Take care, and keep looking.
Oh, we will. We will. Don't you worry. The hunt is on.